first thing I would think about with same day registration in Illinois is that potential Illinois voters who haven't registered, I'd highly recommend that they do a little bit of research on that same day registration, because as we've seen in so many states, when there is same day registration, there's still certain caveats, there's certain things that need to be brought with the people who'd like to register to vote, and some people for various reasons might not be able to fully take advantage of that opportunity. And in terms of what that may mean for the 2016 election cycle, it means that you end up having a change in the strategy of the political parties. You have a change in the strategy of the various campaigns, because usually if you have a registration date that's pretty far off from the actual day of voting, then the theme of what you're doing in terms of get out the vote efforts is different. You have people who engage much more in registration up to a point, and then it's okay, well, if you're not registered, you're dead to us. We're just trying to get the people who are registered. Whereas now you can really try to almost keep a steady move.
Who is the most likely to vote?
The most likely to vote would be people with high levels of political efficacy, meaning that they feel they can make changes politically to the world around them. So if they're homeowners, if they have a career, if they have, you know, various levels of education, the more education people have, the more likely it is that they're going to vote. Whereas people who may be living close to poverty or below the poverty line, who may not own property, sometimes people who are younger, who are moving around, or people who are less educated, a lot of times statistics show that they're less likely to vote because they really don't see the system doing a lot for them, regardless if it's true or not. Now, of course, I'm talking in generalizations, and this doesn't apply to everyone, but this is what the statistics show us.
Well, might they have the most at stake, and what are some of those issues?
Most definitely. I mean, there are many more life or death issues at stake for people who are, I guess you could say they're considered have-nots. I mean, we see that the people whose family members end up volunteering for the armed forces are more likely to be either in poorer rural areas or poorer inner city areas. So you end up having people that maybe are a little less likely to vote in some cases, having their family members in harm's way. They sometimes can be affected quickly by changes to both national and state level policies when it comes to various elements of social welfare, not just what people typically think about with food assistance, but even when we start talking about assistance for education, when it comes to assistance for housing, when it comes to various programs that may help the unemployed or the underemployed get back into the workforce.
Both of the candidates, the major party candidates for president, have fairly high unfavorability ratings. How is that going to affect voter turnout?
When we compare voter turnout in a presidential election year versus what we call off-year elections and sometimes local year elections, we see participation and enthusiasm much lower in those non-presidential years. Whereas in this year, where we have almost records being broken for the negative ratings that both candidates get, we could very well end up seeing a suppression of turnout across the board, because unfortunately, so many Americans really base their voter participation on presidential elections. If they're excited about a candidate, if they feel like they're part of a movement, and those things make us feel good inside, and that's great. But the reality that Americans need to remember is that it's important to vote each and every time, that when people fought and died for the right to vote, they were doing that so people could vote on things that could affect their lives both locally on a state level as well as nationally. So it's not just about the presidency. So even if people don't feel enthusiastic, it probably would be a good idea to make a choice on that level, but also remember that other offices are up for election.
Mm-hmm. One of those might be the Senate race in Illinois, where the incumbent Mark Kirk is facing Democratic Representative Tammy Duckworth. What do you see in that race at this time?
In that race, we really see that Mark Kirk recognizes that the state of Illinois is a very racially and ethnically diverse state, and that many of the populations that Donald Trump has offended, or at least appear to offend, they represent significant voter blocks in the state of Illinois. And then we've seen Mark Kirk respond to that by basically disavowing Donald Trump, but still hold on to his core Republican ideals, where we've seen Tammy Duckworth be able to use the whole idea of the feelings that people may have about Donald Trump and then the way that those feelings may trickle down to the Republican Party as a whole. She's aiming to use those things as ways to both motivate her core of voters to stay engaged, but also as a way to work against the incumbent, Mark Kirk. It's basically the tightest race in the U.S. Senate on a national level right now, where you have an incumbent involved. Many people were surprised to see Hillary Clinton in the Quad Cities on Labor Day, but I was not surprised because she needed to be here in great part because that Duckworth Kirk race is so close, and Hillary Clinton knows that if she does end up winning the presidency, that she's going to want to try her best to have a Senate that is majority Democratic. So, and on the other side of the coin, Donald Trump has interest in having a Senate that remains a Republican majority.
There was some suggestion that elements of the presidential campaign are more like a reality TV show than a traditional campaign. We have televised, and, well, we'll have them on radio too, debates coming up. What do you expect the listenership, the viewership, the ratings to be for these debates?
I think that the ratings are going to be through the roof because people who maybe have no interest in politics are going to want to watch the Trump and Hillary show. That's the way that they'll look at it. Then you have other people who have a deep interest in politics, and they recognize that there are some very measurable differences between the Republican Party at this time and the Democratic Party. There's certainly measurable differences between the possibility of a Trump presidency and a Clinton presidency, and they're going to want to be able to compare and contrast these two candidates and their plans. Now, I would say for the listeners that this is an exercise that sometimes I give to my students, where I'll say, well, listen to a debate, or at least a part of a debate, and then watch part of the debate, or vice versa, because there is a difference in when you only listen, you end up listening to the words a lot more, the delivery comes across a little differently, but then when you watch, you end up getting a different feel. So there are two different things happening with those two different mediums, where people, if you do a little bit of both in your free time, if anybody has free time, I think you can get a lot more out of a debate than if you simply watch it once or you simply listen to it once.